first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Willow Talk is back. Quick roll call. I know Mark Waugh is here because I'm pointing at you in the studio. There you are.
Cookie, good to see you again, mate.
Yes, good to be here. Matthew Hayden, yeah. Haydos is in the house.
Hey guys, how you going?
And Graham Swan in London. He's following the entire tour. Swanee, do we have you down the line?
You have a 1-0 England studio calling.
Yes. Be quick. Be quick, G-man. That's almost like a chortle, chortle, chortle.
Yes, kiss that death. Was supposed to be my slightly sinister, evil laugh, but it just comes out as arrogant and smug, I know. Well, I am.
Boys, right from the top, boys, do you think he'll be laughing at the end of this series?
I don't. I'm happy to say that. But good start, though, Graham. Very nice start.
It's a great start. It confirms what I believed at the start of this Ashes, that this Australian team, if it does swing, they're not the players that Hayden and Mark Waugh were.
Oh, no. Come on. You're not a one. We give. Yeah, that's actually well said, Swanee, but
you're about to have a go, and then you're going, hang on.
Cheap,
what's about to rip
cheap.
In you? All right, guys, all your usual favourites, after several weeks of this show, it's become very clear that Graham Swan's impressions have just taken over the country. Yeah. It's quite something. Swanee's wrong, and where he impersonates another cricketing personality, it's uncanny. He'll do it again in the second hour. Who will he impersonate? Time will tell. Special guest in the second hour as well.
He's my brother, my twin brother.
Better brother. Better. He's a better warrior.
That's enough from you, Haydos. My older brother. Older twin brother.
He doesn't do a lot of media, Steve, does he? Like, he doesn't pop up on lots of shows, really?
No, he's pretty quiet. So big coup to get him on.
Yeah, about an hour away. Stephen Waugh is on the show. And Haydos, what about our next guest, mate? In about 5 minutes' time, this is going to be entertaining.
Yeah, Alan Lamb, mate. He's a cracker. 79 tests for England, so he's got plenty in the kit bag.
Got a few stories.
On site as well. Stories, yeah. Especially off the field, June. Mm. Good old-fashioned bloke. He's a proper chap.
Yeah, and Swanee's actually out in the production area just lining him up. That's coming up next on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matty Hayden and Graham Swan. Our next guest, captain England three times, played 79 tests for England, won the Ashes twice, the 85 series, the 86-87 series. It is Alan Lamb on the line, guys.
Good morning, guys.
Lammy, how you going, mate? It's Haydos.
I've got a 100% record as England captain, which won't be beaten that often.
You could argue it could never be beaten.
Mate, it's three times. Gee. You could.
Yeah, but that's... Huh?
Well, who'd you play against?
It's like two up.
Oh, hold on. I had three and lost three. So there you are. That's a 100% record.
Oh, there we go. There's the reality.
Oh, God, we had to lose one of them to you, but the other were the might of the West Indies. So, you know.
And not a bad side back then, Lammy, either.
No. They've had a couple of bowlers, couple of batters, you know.
Well, Lammy, how do you see the series going, mate? Obviously, you Pommies have got us one up in the series, but can Australia come back in this test match, you reckon?
I've got a little sneaking feeling before this test match started. I said the Aussies are, you know, wounded kangaroo. You get on the wrong side and then you give them a good kicicking. I'm afraid that the Aussies are going to probably, if they win this test match, then they'll win the series.
Well, Lammy, it's Swanee here. How are you, mate? That's disgusting language coming
Hello,
from you
Swanee.
There. How are you, mate? I'm just around the corner from you. But
greasy fingers, Swan.
Let's talk about last week's test match instead at Sapphire Gardens at Swalick Stadium. Wasn't that just brilliant from an English perspective to see this so-called high and mighty team? The team that I heard Mark Waugh and Matthew Hayden go, nah, mate, they'll be too strong. Too strong for this English side. Only a week ago, get absolutely pasted.
Oh, there was a lot of humble pie eaten, Swanee. A lot of humble pie eaten.
You blokes need to play five tests at Cardiff to beat us in a series. That is for sure.
Turn it up.
It's the only place you can beat us,
what
Cardiff.
Do you do?
Hey?
Oh, you got no bloody price. I promise you. This
What's your favourite Ashes moment at Lords? Either yourself or your teammates or... stupid Aussies you played against? What was your favourite moment?
It was probably when Fat Gap bloody caught AB and threw it up and dropped it. I don't know if you remember that. It was like throwing the ashes away.
I don't actually, no. Well, it definitely wasn't like
remember,
food he was grabbing AB, at the bar.
AB. Boone hadn't got back from the bar the night before. So I think he probably had to send in someone else. But no, we were on course to win the test match there because we never beat Australia at Lord's. But AB nicked one at short leg straight to Gat. Gat caught it, threw it up and dropped it. So we weren't very happy.
So that was a bigger stuff up in the World Cup where he reversed sweep? That was a bigger stuff up?
Yeah, that reverse sweep. But I mean, when he chucked it up, he thought it was a pork pie. That's why he missed it.
He just opened his mouth and went straight in.
And, mate, there wouldn't have been cameras that were sort of action replaying it like they are now as well. It must have been on the field decision, right?
Yeah, and you remember the other one when Flipper hit, I was standing at short leg and Flipper drilled one into me at short leg and I jumped up and hit me on the foot and David Gower caught it. Flipper said,
I remember that.
The deck
Edge before. Bastard.
I said, what did he know? He couldn't see in any case.
Swanny, I know you've looked pretty closely at the Alan Lamb archives and you're looking back over the Alan Lamb story.
It's not just looking at the archives. Alan Lamb, I'm a Northampton boy growing up and Alan Lamb, Matt Hayden ended up playing for Northampton. Lammy was Northampton through and through. And Lammy, me and my brother Alec, you know him, don't you? We had a video that basically made us fall in love with cricket and you'll love the sound of this, Junior and Haydos. It was called On Top Down Under. And it was all about the 86-87 tour that you guys went on, where you won the Perth Challenge, the World Series, and the Ashes. But there was that one famous over.
Correct.
With big, lanky Bruce Reid bowling at you at the SCG, and you hit 18 off the first five balls. I must have watched that replay 50, 60 times till the videotape, the VCR tape, had got all warped. But just talk us through your memories of that over. It was just incredible.
Well, I mean, we were sort of down and out a little bit, but, you know, I couldn't face my team if I'd not got the runs. And, you know, you just take a big gamble off the last over. And I think the changing in that whole over was when I hit one to extra cover. And I think it could have been Jonesy. It went straight to him. I ran to the non-striker, then pretend to run back and kept trying to pretend to run. And Jonesy kept running in and then fired the ball at the non-striker's end, but Bruce Reid was standing behind the stump. And unfortunately, I got in front of the line of the ball.
You got out of the way very late, didn't you? Very late.
Yes, very late. And I wasn't a deliberate. I would never do that as an Australian, really. And, I just jumped out the way and did greedy. And we scampered through for the extra one, and then that was history. So, you know, that was a sort of fantastic time. But what happens now? I think everyone gets 18 off and over. It's sort of the done thing.
That thing you're talking about there, Lammy, that was a part that we used to love watching because we were only little boys and we liked swear words. And it was Bruce Reid then saying to his kid, he got him, the effing way. He got him, the effing way.
Now, what we want to do here, hey, Lammy, what we want to do, mate, we do want to take a song here, but we want to come back, mate, because, you know, it's your off-field exploits that a lot of people like to talk about. I know we've had a bit of an on-field chat here, but, mate, if you've got a bit of time, there's plenty of material from after the game ended that we want to talk to you about. So can you hang out?
Okay.
Alan Lamb is our guest. This is Willow Talk. Because this guy can match Booney, right? It's fair to say. I mean, he could go toe-to-toe with Booney.
He's a bit more culture than Booney. I think he likes a bit more wine than Booney.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, Alan Lamb's going to hang
better
out.
Better wine, too.
This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Swanee and Junior. Alan Lamb is our guest on Willow Talk. It's great to have him. He is obviously at Lord's at the moment where the second test is underway. He captained England three times, 79 tests for England, and won the Ashes twice, the 85 series and the 86-87 series. Guys have been talking about some of his memories from on-field, but Haydos, what about his performance off-field?
Yeah, he's a stunning performer off the field, is Lammy. There's no question about that. Hey, Lammy, I remember on a serious note you sitting me down in 2005, you're putting together your world-famous braai in Northampton. I came and visited you, and you said in a very solemn way, mate, you blokes just don't get it. You're too serious. You're too sulky. It's boring. There's no colour. And frankly, just because you win, you're missing the point of cricket, and that is all about mateship, off-the-field camaraderie, and ultimately, I think that you need to go about, you know, changing your game. And look, I've got to admit, Lammy, I rarely listen to you, but I did think about that a lot. And as Australians, we were quite a grumpy lot of players, and we loved to win, and we loved our own time in the dressing room naturally because of it. But you said to, you know, get in, get to know your mates. And have you seen the game change for the better or the worse, in your opinion? Because we're just out of this, you know, whole saga about the Aussies, can you believe, not wanting to have a drink.
Can you ask a longer question, Haydos? Can you ask a longer question?
No, it's a big one. But it's a bit of background as well, Drew. You know?
The team now probably can't handle the alcohol like the team they used to with Brady in it. But no, listen, I always believe, you know, you play this game, you enjoy the game. If you don't enjoy it, you're not going to have success. If you're a grumpy old man, I mean, AB changed it with Simpson because the reason was that he felt that Simpson and I think Cipelli chirped in there too and said that the Aussies were too close to the opposition, the England team and that. But, you know, what's wrong with having a drink with the opposition after a game's play? I mean, you know, I think it should be done. I mean, if I go back, you know, the first ever test match I played in Oz was... I had to go into the dressing room where you had Rodney Marsh, Lilly, and Thompson. And the guy said to me, "Hey, youngster, come here, sit down here." And I thought, oh, shit, now what's going to happen? So anyway, I sat down there. They said, did you nick that one? I said, yeah, just got a faint one. Ah, we knew it, you bastard. You know, so, you know, we were quite open about it, you know. So that was my introduction to the famous Lilly and Thompson. I don't know. If Swanee, you know, in his time, if they had drinks with Oppo, but I just think it's something that should be done. And, you know, if you don't want to have a drink with the opposition, then, you know, you don't have to, you're not forced to, you know, piss off home and let the others go and have a drink, you know?
Yeah, I think it's always a shame when the management is saying that the team on the whole are not allowed to do. And I think, you know, if the open invitation's there, like Alistair Cook told me after the game, said I've invited the whole of their team in. You know, they don't all have to come in, but, you know, the offer's there and it's open. It's for the whole series. It's not just for Cardiff. If two or three of the blokes want to go in, they should have the balls about them to just get up and go. And if the management aren't happy and if the rest of the team aren't happy, it's really their problem.
Correct.
I truly believe going in the opposition changing room, you can learn more in an hour and a half about the bloke you're playing against than you ever will by watching videos and just sledging him on the field.
It actually breaks down the barrier. Like, it's like they're more human and, you know, you don't see them as a bigger threat on the field. I think, you know, we probably didn't do it enough against the West Indies. You sort of see them as superhuman and you're scared of them. But if you have a drink with them, you realise, you know, you're both humans and you feel the pressure as well. So I think it can work in your favour sometimes when you're playing, you know, people you really look up to.
I think that's why Australia don't want England to go in. They don't want to be, they don't want actually to people to realise that they're nice blokes.
I still went and had a drink with the West Indies. I was the only one or two. The others never came here. But you used to have to finish a bottle of rum with them before you got to bed. Yeah.
Hey, Lammy, who was the biggest imbecile or character you played with?
Larger than life. Well,
that's a nice way to put it, Junior. Yeah, if you want to
well, I mean, said imbecile.
I played well. I mean, it had to be Beefy. I think Beefy to me was larger than life. I mean, you know, he had success not just through his talents. He just believed he could do anything to the opposition. Where other people think, oh, shit, I'm not going to be able to get him out. Beefy would. You get a bowler long hop and a guy bloody pull it to mid-wicket or something.
Mm. Yeah,
so well, I think as a guy played, I would say Beefy.
Well, guys, what a great insight into a completely different era of cricket.
But what players as well. That's the thing, Cookie. They were fantastic players. Played as hard as you could get as well. Really hard-nosed cricket.
And admittedly, these are all the personalities that Alan Lamb are talking about still resonate with, you know, fans of this generation. They're all just the legends of the game. So what an honour to have him on the line. Alan Lamb, who is currently at Lords. Mate, thanks for sparing time for us on Willow Talk. Much appreciated.
Cheers, guys. No problem. Give us a ring and later on in the series and we'll see it. We'll see if the Aussies have made any progress.
See you, Lammy.
Alan Lamb on Willow Talk. It is that time of the week on Willow Talk. This is where Swanee tries to stump Junior. Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden in the building. Graham Swan is in London following the series. You've got your questions ready to go. The way this works is we attempt to stump Junior. His cricketing general knowledge isn't amazing. He's going to try and get more
Hang on. Three and four, first 2 weekends.
Out of five, so we'll see how
that's
it goes.
That's right, isn't it?
You got your questions there, Swanee, ready to rock?
Well, I think by the end of these questions, I think me and Haydos will know for sure whether he's being fed the answers or not, because he's not getting these. There's no way he's getting
these. Right. There has been some eyebrows raised.
Without doubt. The steward's inquiry is ongoing. Right, number one. How many catches did Kevin Peterson put down during the entire 2005 Ashes series?
Oh, that is a stupid question. How would I know? I don't even know how many catches I dropped.
Good question.
It was quite famous in England, and he never actually caught a catch in Test cricket.
There would have been six Tests in that Ashes series, would there? Or five?
Nope. It's 2005.
Five. Okay. Well, I'd have
talking
to think.
About six
I'd have
test
to
matches.
Think he'd drop at least one a Test. At least one a Test. So I'm going somewhere between.
This smells very fishy to me.
Five and eight.
Exact.
Five and eight. I'm going to go.
And let me guess, you're going to go for number six.
No, I'm going to go seven. Seven.
Yes.
Got him, yes.
Oh,
how'd I go?
Yes. Good call.
Yes,
good
what? Call. Did I get it right or not?
No, you're out. Yeah. You're out.
Listen out.
You've been stumped. There you go.
It was six.
Six, was it?
Yep, the correct answer was six, so you're just out there.
It wasn't
good
far
effort,
off.
Though. Good effort.
Question two, Swanee.
Okay.
Question two. The highest score by a player in the 2002-2003 Ashes series. Who was it? Who got the highest score?
You are kidding. Like, I can't remember my highest score, let alone someone else's in the Ashes series.
I'll give you some clues.
Oh, come on, Junior.
Very short. Never more than 30 centimetres away from Matthew Hayden.
Oh, well, it's Justin Lang.
Angriest man in the world.
I don't know what his score was.
Picks a fight with his own shadow in a closed room.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to go 230.
Got him, yes.
It was 250. It was a good effort, though.
Give me a decent question, Swanee.
By the way, that was the Boxing Day test where he hit the 250. Question three, Swanee. Yeah.
I apologise.
It struggling wasn't
the Boxing Day test. Question three. Jeffrey Boycott faced 8,568 balls in Ashes Test matches, but what did he never manage to do?
What did he never manage to do? Well, it's got to be something a bit out of the ordinary. I would say, as he was a very dour player, I'd say he would never have hit a Dorothy Dix, a six.
Correct!
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, correct.
Yes.
Thank
correct,
you.
June.
I'm off the mark. You're beautiful.
Very good. Well done.
Thank you.
Here's the weekly. Like
can you believe
the
that?
Weekly, the weekly half volley. You'll get this, no problem. Who fielded Steve Harmison's wide ball that began the first Ashes Test at the Gabba in 2006?
Oh, easy.
What sort of question is this?
Freddie Flintoff.
What sort of question?
Exactly.
Freddie
Flintoff. Isn't that aired twice a day in Australia ever since?
And he was
every
single
only day
a second
year.
Slip. Thank you. Two in a row.
Yeah, that's right.
It's actually brilliant footage how he just takes it and nonchalantly throws it to the third. Keep going. Yeah. Oh, good, Steve. Right. Question number five.
I'm on a roll here. I could get through
Which
here.
TV show did Michael Kasparovic discuss with the Queen, Her Majesty the Queen, on Haydos's mate, on the Aussie team visit to Buckingham Palace during the 1997 Ashes Tour of England?
No idea. Yes. Which TV show? Well, what TV show would the Queen watch?
Okay, if he wasn't
she
allowed
like the
to
races?
Go...
I'm thinking a racing show, maybe. Sky Racing.
Actually,
it's a very good shout because the Queen does have racehorses.
I know that.
A very good shout.
That's where I said it. No, but it
completely
obviously wasn't
wrong.
The right answer.
It's a very good
incorrect.
Shout.
Got him, yes!
Can you reveal the TV show that Michael Kasparovic had a chat to the Queen about, please? This is ridiculous, Swanee.
Contenders, you will ridiculous. Go on my first whistle. Gladiators, you will go on my second whistle.
Of course. I should have got that. They were ridiculous questions, Swanee.
I was pretty convinced you were being fed the answers, so... I had to raise the bar a little bit.
Well, he clearly isn't being fed the answers because he scored 2 out of 5 this week. Stump Junior is back next week. Hopefully an improved performance from Mark Waugh. And I think Mark would say hopefully better questions from Swanee.
Exactly right.
So Swanee. Let's just be even-handed about that. coming up real soon on Willow Talk, the boys will tell us something that we didn't know from their years of playing cricket. The deepest, darkest story. One of you three will be awarded the Tell Me Something You Didn't Know weekly champion.
I'm due. I've got beat the last 2 weeks. So
you've got to lift a bit, Junior.
Got to step up a bit. Lift. I've got to lift.
Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Graham Swan, Mark Waugh and Matthew Hayden. It is time for the three of you to tell me something we didn't know. The cricket fans will be listening to this. What they want from you guys is really juicy stories, stories that we just wouldn't believe from your days of playing cricket. And Byron over here, I will be judging this. And one of you three
I'm not
will...
going first this week.
All right, okay,
I'm going to go last.
Okay, good.
I'm happy to go first. I'm happy to take the bullet.
Come on then, G-Man.
Swanee is up, ready to go to tell us something that we didn't know it, we won't believe it.
Yeah, well, my one's, it's got a few hygiene issues that actually go in mind, but I wore the same pair of underpants to and from the ground every single day of my test career. They happened to be the pair I was wearing the first day I played test cricket. I would only wear them from the hotel to the ground and then the ground back to the hotel. But nonetheless, the same pair of black and white camouflage patterned boxer briefs. That by the end, honestly...
mate, they must have been melting off
Let's
your
say by the last couple of test matches, they didn't quite offer the support in one area that they might have done. They were quite airy. But to the point where I was so convinced of their powers that at one point I went on tour only to open my case and realised with horror that I'd left them behind and made my wife courier them out to New Zealand.
You are kidding.
It took a week. And I was there every morning checking the hotel receptions. The package turned up yet? Is the package turned up yet? And when it eventually did, I was over the moon and then promptly broke down, had to go and have an operation and never bowled. So never leave your lucky pants at home.
Probably on your groin, mate. Was it?
Jeez, okay. That's a bit like Greg Ritchie. He used to have very few pairs of underpants. He used to turn them inside out just to keep them going a bit longer.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, you get 4 days out of them. Inside out, upside down, back to front, back to normal.
Oh, no.
Okay, so Swanee's story is locked in.
Yeah.
Haydos, do you want to go now, mate?
Yeah, okay. Well, Tugger in 2001... during the Ashes tour, asked my brother Gary Jr., you would have been on this trip, to be on the trip to be a bona fide net bowler.
That's right. Yeah.
Remember him travelling around with us?
And, yeah, I did, yeah.
And
yeah.
Gazzard,
he was a half decent bloke, your brother.
He'd come to train.
Covered. he was a nice
so
bloke.
Same about
he was a nice
too.
Bloke. Yeah, go on. Sorry,
yeah,
mate.
Good fella, yeah, good fella. But Gazzard would attend all the training sessions and he'd ask, you know, where each batsman that he'd bowl to would like to bowl and obviously what they'd like to get out of each session. And then he'd put down a small, thin blade of or piece of hessian string on the wicket where the direction of the batsman came from, and then he'd bowl. And after a couple of days, I think it might have been after the Edgbaston test match, Tugger called a bit of a team meeting together and put it to a vote as to which brother they'd like to save to be on tour, whether they send Gary home or they'd send me home. So it was unanimous. As to Junior's point, they reckon that Gary should be retained as part of the touring group on the grounds that he was an absolutely far more useful member of the side and a much better bloke.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Can't argue with that.
Well, that's a brave story to tell from Haydos. He was on the wrong end of that one. Junior, please.
I'm lucky. Lucky. What's the saying? Lucky but last? No. Last but lucky.
What is it? Lucky last but not least.
Lucky
normally,
last.
But you know.
Jeez. That's it. Yeah, Swanee. I've had too much to drink here. Too many waters.
Sunday morning, isn't it?
My story is... Cricket Australia used to award four scholarships, SO scholarships, to up-and-coming young players in the Sheffield Shield in Australia, and I happened to win that one year, along with Keith Bradshaw, Dennis Hickey, and Glenn Trimble. And those three guys got sent to counties, but I got sent to MCC to improve my cricket at MCC on the young ground staff there. And what the MCC do is, you do at the MCC is you actually play against teams like the Fire Brigade, the Army, a few second 11 games, but more importantly, you serve, you work at the MCC at Lord's doing things like the covers in test matches. I did the covers in a test match against New Zealand. I worked in the scoreboard.
Yeah, they obviously weren't the hovercraft type, were they? They would have been the full pull-out jobs.
Exactly. I worked in the scoreboard in a county game, and I had to bowl to 80-year-old Codgers in the nets. The Lord's members.
Did you run in? Did you charge in?
I steamed in, bowled some bounces. So that's how I was that dirty because it never improved my cricket. I was just doing all these stupid things on the MCC ground staff.
Wow, we didn't know that. Okay, guys, let's have a think about the three stories we've heard. I enjoyed Haydos' story and I enjoyed Junior's story, but I've got to say, Swanee wearing the same pair of underpants to the ground for his entire career.
Yeah.
That has to win.
It does win it.
And I tell you what, it not only wins...
Shocking custom.
It's our segment, Tell Me Something We Didn't Know. It also wins another segment, Tell Me Something We Didn't Want to Know. So it's got... Actually, it's actually won both there. So congratulations to Graeme Swan. He is this week's winner. Great work from Swanee. You boys were solid, but second and
too
third.
Good. Too good against Swanee.
You can't beat underpants as a topic. Coming up real soon, Steve Waugh. You heard of him, Mark?
Who? I haven't spoken to him since.
Yeah.
Talk anyway, room together.
Ask him a decent question. Home.
Steve Waugh is our guest. That's coming up soon on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Matt Hayden, Mark Waugh, and Graeme Swan. It's Byron over here. What a pleasure to introduce this man. Australian of the Year in 2004. Thank you very much. Inducted into the ICC Cricket Hall of Fame in January 2010. Order of Australia. Captained Australia from 1999 right through to 2004. 168 tests. We could go on. What a record. Steve Waugh, welcome to Willow Talk.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, Cookie, you forgot to say twin brother of Mark.
Oh, yeah, best known as twin brother to Mark Waugh.
The next time I see you will be on a mountain, I reckon, on the way up to Byron Bay, and I'll be looking over my shoulder because you'll be still coming, I'd reckon.
Well, it's probably right, mate, because you're joining us after a couple of days. You're taking the shortcut. I mean, we're doing from the start 6 days. Sydney to Byron's Bay, as you say, from the captain's ride, November 1 to 6, raising funds for the foundations. But it's going to be a real challenge, mate. I've just actually come from Daly Thompson's Fitness Centre about 2 minutes ago and put a good session there and struggle a bit. So it's going to be a tough ask.
Jeez, have you got a motor on the back of your bike? How are you going to make that?
Yeah, and I need some sort of cheating device. I'm not sure what it's going to be. But, look, it's about 6.5 hours in the saddle every day, and which is going to be a real challenge. And there's about 60 of us doing it at this stage. You know, get some high-profile, I guess, sports people. We've got from business. Hopefully the Prime Minister's coming on the first day. We've got Simon Gerrans doing the first day ride with us. People like Mick Doohan, Charlie Teo's doing the first day. So, and quite a number of people from St Kilda Footy Club, including the coach, are coming along. So it should be a good fun week.
Mate, I just can't. I can't wait to see those bandy little bow legs of yours go hammer and tong up through those ranges. It'll be terrific.
Yeah, mate, you might be surprised, mate. I think I have you covered the last couple of days. You've got a triathlon beforehand, so I think you might struggle a bit.
Guys, Swanee can't wait to rip in here. Swanee is in our London studio, Steve, and I know the fact that he is in between the twin brothers here, he's very excited about the opportunity to ask some really awkward questions. So, Swanee, please.
Well, yeah, I'm going to put the phone down. Hang up.
Hi, Steve, how you doing? It's not so much awkward. It's just, I played first-class cricket with and against my brother as well. I don't know if you ever played against Mark, but we took it for granted, even though they denied it, that my mum preferred me, my dad preferred my brother. That was it. They always said, no, nonsense, we love you both the same, la-di-da, like parents do.
This question's going, mate.
Yeah, so come on. So you're obviously your mum and dad's favourite.
Well, I was the firstborn, so look, I guess you probably have to say it, but look, I got no idea really, but we did play against each other one time. That was when the Australian team played
Essex.
We both got 100, so we like playing against each other.
Yeah.
Did you sledge each other or not?
I'm not sure who the
served up a couple of half volleys.
Juicy half volleys.
Oh, actually, I think we might have bowled a bounce or two to each other. I'd say so.
Track the perrier.
But I just know on Sunday mornings, mate, when Dad used to wake up, and one of us would have to get the go and get the paper up the street, and we had these scooters with streamers on the handlebar, and we just dreaded Dad calling out one of our names to go and get the papers. I reckon I got called out more than Mark.
I've got a nasty scar on my right knee where we had a race down the driveway on the scooters, and you actually got the elbow out.
It was a pretty treacherous course. It was steep with a sharp left hand, and if you didn't make that corner, you were going straight in the garage. So there's a couple of nasty little dingles where the elbows come out and pushed it in the garage. But it was
I think the best story is we used to share a car, a white Falcon, and if one of us had to make a trip somewhere and we knew that the other brother was going to take the car the next day, we'd just put enough petrol in it so we'd get home. So when the other brother got in it the next day, it'd run out of petrol. You had to put about $5 worth in.
I think one day we ran out of petrol twice in a day. Pretty good.
So you never got each other out, because my brother got me out once, so I got him out once, and it was even though in the game. I think Haydos, I think you were playing in it against Lancashire, a one-day game, when we lost by 9 wickets, but I got my brother out, and it was the greatest day of my life.
Well, there's a count running out.
You would have been gloating over that one.
Yeah, well, that
was counts
it.
Running each other out. There's a
running
count running each other out in a game.
Because well,
that counts
a few times. Well,
there'd be quite a few then.
You think twins are supposed to be telepathic almost, but it seemed like two
I think
were.
We had one bad season. We had one bad season in the one-day series. I think I got run out about six times.
Yeah, a bit slow. Mark was always a bit slow. Like, I used to win the local sprints at the Bankstown sprint. I was pretty sharp. So Mark was a bit slow out of the box.
That's about as far as you could run, though, 20 metres. You can't run any further.
No, I agree with that.
You'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Can't disagree with that.
Hey, Osh, you there?
6.9 was the best on my beep test.
What about the beep test? We'd have to do a beep test, and Tugger would pull out after about three lots because he said, "Oh, my shins have blown up." Good excuse.
We had that compartmental syndrome. Well, hopefully, we get confirmation just from Jock Campbell a little bit later on, just as to which one of the twins actually had any kind of athletic ability whatsoever. But
I think you're talking about, mate, over
seriously.
Here.
Seriously.
Well, I had to get to 11 in the beep test, if that counts.
Is there going to be any useful questions in this interview?
Funny you should mention that. We will actually talk some Ashes with Steve Waugh next on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Matt Hayden, Mark Waugh, and Graham Swan. It's Byron over here. What a pleasure to introduce this man. Steve Waugh, welcome to Willow Talk.
Thanks very much.
Tug, I'm looking at a photo of you with a baggy green on it. It's an old dilapidated thing, and you love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, in your captaincy, I guess you sort of brought back in the whole importance of, you know, the baggy green and the one cap only policy and that sort of thing. Mm. But, mate, how did it feel to actually present to young Neville the other day? That must have been a lovely honour for you.
Yeah, mate, it was a huge honour. And, look, I haven't been around a lot of cricket grounds. I must have been since I retired. I've been busy with, you know, business and charity. So when Buff asked me the other day, I was sort of taken back a bit. And it was a real honour and extremely nerve-wracking. I mean, you guys know presenting in front of your peers is the hardest thing to do. You can talk to strangers, no problem. But when you've got the guys around you in a circle and you're presenting a baggy green cap to the guy for the first time, look, I was extremely nervous. But I must admit, I really enjoyed it. And just being out in that Lord's turf, there's something about it. I mean, if you had to pick one place to actually come back and have a game, it's definitely Lord's. And I felt really special being on the ground and having a chat to the boys was a real highlight. And I felt really privileged to be out there. And Pete seems a really nice guy, and I really wish him the best for his whole career.
So what did you actually say to him? Can you give us a bit of an insight?
Look, I think it was more about, I basically said, look, the baggy green, we all know it's special and it means something different to everyone. And I just said, look, this is what the baggy green cap means to me. And I went through a few of my things. And I just said, look, every cap will tell its story at the end of the day. And I just hope that your story is a successful one and wish you all the best. But, I mentioned a few things about the bloodstains with Jason Gillespie and the collision. So that basically told my story because it was with me for 18 years. So, it was good fun.
And have you got a special memory of Lord's, Tug?
Well, look, every memory is special, Lords. I must admit, the first time I played there, I was with Somerset when I was over there as a 19, 20-year-old, and I'd never been to Lords before, and I hadn't really prepared myself for walking out on the pitch, so I walked down the stairs, and they sort of guided me towards the right-hand turn, and that was through the members, the long room, and I saw all these members standing there with jackets and ties and smoking. I thought, that can't be the right way to go, so I went straight ahead past the writers' room. I opened the door myself up.
Jeez,
and then
green.
Thought, where the hell do I go now? So then I walked straight down, and there was, I think, I don't know whether I hopped out of the fence. I went through totally the wrong entry to the ground. And the Middlesex players were cacking themselves as I walked out, and I was that embarrassed. I stayed out there and got 140, but it was probably one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. But, that sticks with me, I suppose. Yeah,
see, one thing the Twins
Lords
have got in common.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're about to say, hey, right?
From Lords was forgetting Damien Fleming's name when I introduced the team to the Queen. I mean, I was looking along the queue and I saw Damien Martin standing next to Damien Fleming, and I thought to myself, hang on, have we got two Damiens on the side? That doesn't sound right. And I was like preoccupied with it. I introduced Damien Martin. I looked at Flam and just totally forgot his name.
What about this series, Tugger? Do you think it's going to be tight, or Australia, you think, in the end might win out?
Look, it's interesting. First test, I thought England were exceptional. Their execution, their bowling was spot on, and that allowed Moeen Ali to take a couple of cheap wickets. I think he's a handy bowler, but you wouldn't expect him to take four wickets in a test against Australia. So they work well as a unit, and I like the look of Stokes. I like the look of Wood. He's got real energy, and Joe Root's a world-class batsman. So they've got Josh Butler's got some real energy about him. So it looks a pretty impressive lineup. Having said that, they've been a bit hot and cold, even though they're on a bit of a run at the moment. They did lose a test against New Zealand pretty badly. I think the jury's out a bit. Australia, I've got a couple of concerns as well, but they've come back well in the second test. So with some good form of the bat with key players. So I think it's going to be a pretty even series. At the end of the day, it might come down to the crucial players staying on the field and not being injured. I mean, Ryan Harris was a big loss. We can't really afford to lose another quick. I think we'll still get out of line, but it's going to be pretty close.
Steve Waugh, our guest on Willow Talk. And just quickly, Steve, we always have a Flight Centre question of the week, and Flight Centre is always about being prepared and booking early at flightcentre.com.au. Quirky preparation habits is what we ask, and, you know, the famous red rag. I mean, yeah, this is just, this is in the archives as one of the great preparation habits. I mean, can we discuss your love of preparation and some of the superstitions around it all?
Yeah, I'm not as ridiculous as Haydos. I mean, I still don't know what he was doing on that pitch, sitting down in that yoga position, sort of fondling the turf. But I was pretty set in my ways towards the end. I mean, the day before a test, it was always pretty much the same routine. You know, go for a haircut, massage, have some pasta at night time. Just feel really relaxed and going into the test match. And, of course, the red rag was something I always wanted to have in my pocket. And the baggy green, I mean, they were the two main things. And each ground in the UK, if you've been there a couple of times before, you'd have your particular spot that sit like Lords. It was I had the view straight down the wicket. I was next to Glenn McGrath every time. And then the younger players would come and sit and wait for a spare spot. So you do get pretty set in your ways. But for me, I guess my real thing, that my security blanket was my red rag. If that was in my pocket, I felt everything was going to be okay.
Wow. And did that go right back, Mark, to the very early days, or did that evolve?
I'm not sure when it evolved.
Mate, we used to share clothes, mate, back in
the
day.
Yeah, we did. Well, they were the same anyway. We never knew which size, whose was whose, because they're all the same. When you're twins, you've got to have the same clothes. So. Well,
yeah, you had to get in quick, mate. For the whole holes in the sock. If you didn't get in quick, you get the whole pair with the holes in the sock, so you have to sort of dive in quick.
Well, Stephen, obviously over Steve there with the side and the presentation to the baggy green to Neville as well, but obviously the big charity push as well. We should put that out there before you go. You've got the big ride coming up. I know Haydos is involved. Yeah. How can we get involved in supporting that?
Look, really, I think the main way is just to go to the website, the Steve Waugh Foundation, and just have a look on the Captain's Ride page. It's got the information about there and how you can support the ride. I guess I'm getting people to support me on the ride at this stage. I'm up to about $60,000 myself raised, and we're hoping to raise well over $500,000. So, yeah, we have high aspirations for the ride, but at the end of the day, it's going to be great fun. The people who go on that ride are going to have a life experience and going to spend some time together and hopefully get each other across the line. And if we can get Haydos, I know Haydos is going to be struggling up those hills. If we can get him across the line, it's going to be a big
enough achievement. Empowering. Don't worry about me, Tug. I'll be pulling you up like I did as well. And in the engine room, you blokes in the middle order, interior decorators.
Seriously. Wow.
Did all the hard boundary yards up front. You blokes came in and just prettied it all up.
All right, break it up. Break it up, all of you. what a great a pleasure to have Steve Waugh joining us on Willow Talk, mate. Appreciate your time, and nice that you and Mark could catch up over the phone.
No worries, boys. Good to dribble going.
And coming up next, Swanee's Wrongin'. This is where Swanee impersonates a cricketing personality, and he always does a good job with this. It'll be Haydos and Junior's job to guess who he's impersonating.
It's been easy to guess because he is so good.
Yeah, it's coming up on Willow Talk.
He's good, very good.
This is Willow Talk with Graham Swan, Mark Waugh and Matthew Hayden. Swanee's Wrongin'. This is the segment where Graham Swan impersonates another cricketing personality. He does it so well. I mean, we don't like to give credit to each other on this show, but this is something that somebody on this show does very well. So, Graham, you're in the studio now, but shortly a very special guest is going to make their way into the studio, and Haydos and Junior are going to try and guess who it is.
He is. A good friend of mine's about to turn up. I will warn you, though, I think he's got a cold, so it might not sound very much like him. This is the worst one I do.
Okay.
But here he is now.
If it doesn't sound anything like him.
Hello, mate. How you doing? Come and have a seat. You can take my headset. Oh, yeah. You're all right. I can't tell you how happy I am to be here. Probably most excited I've been for ages.
Could be any one of 60,000 pumps.
Is that my
age? Energy, isn't he?
Never really bowled much against him.
That's me.
Great player. Used to love watching.
Geez, how old are you?
I don't know.
How old are you?
I don't know this one at this stage.
Early 30s.
He's Barry Boring.
Who's
not Jimmy Anderson. No wonder he didn't want to have a drink with him.
Geez, he's a slow talker, this bloke.
You just got it. It's Jimmy Anderson.
Wow.
Absolutely. Is that what he's like in real life?
Jeez.
Is he that
boring? No one would ever have a beer with him.
Yeah.
Nah, well, that's right. I mean, he looks a million bucks, but geez.
Jimmy's unbelievable. He is very much like there must have been one in your team, a one beer bulletproof man. So the shyest, most sensible man in the world, one beer absolutely takes on the world, life and soul of the party.
We had a few of them, didn't we?
The Aussies should have a beer with him because they'd love him by the end of it.
Yeah, because Matt's sake, you should have an impression of him after a beer. It would have been more entertaining. Yeah.
I can go on to that. Let's do. Hang on. We'll come. He's just coming back. He'll be. He's just. Hiya. You all right? Just had a beer. Is that Mark Waugh? What a player. Woo! Wow. I'm off to bowl again. Yeah, cricket. Woo! See you, mate. He's gone.
There he goes.
That was good.
It was like a whirlwind, that was.
Entertained us anyway.
Yeah.
Much better bloke.
Very good.
Now that he's left, though, do you want to tell us that Jimmy Anderson story, Swanee?
Yeah, one of my mates phoned me up one morning who'd never met Jimmy. Said, "Oh, your mate Jimmy, he's the funniest bloke I've ever met. How he pulled that off was incredible." I said, "What are you on about?" He'd done a live Sky Sports interview that morning. He'd done a live television interview that morning after taking 5 wickets in a test match. And the bloke said, "Oh, Jimmy, you must be absolutely over the moon about your performance yesterday." He just went, "Yeah, I've never been so excited in my life. Great, you know, Lords, getting 5. Yeah, really happy." And my mate was like, honestly, the comedic genius of that man to keep a straight face while saying that. Unbelievable. And I said, no, that's actually Jimmy. He is exactly like that.
Swanee's wrong. And should we just match up the audio? Because I find it hard to believe that he could be that low energy. But let's have a listen to Jimmy Anderson, the actual Jimmy Anderson right now.
All the stuff that's come out is about a really successful period for English cricket. And, you know, I've loved every minute of that. We got to world number one. We won three Ashes series in that period of time.
We should have believed him. Yep, he's boring. Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
He's not boring. But
we got him. We got him.
He's shy.
Shy. Shy. Shy is the term. Okay, great. Swanee's Wrongen is back same time next week on Willow Talk. And coming up next, a guest that I don't think Junior wants to speak to, but I know Haydos wants to speak to him. He was the head strength and conditioning coach of the Aussies between 2000 and 2005. His name is Jock Campbell. Very funny guy and has lots of insights as to the training regime or lack thereof of Mark Waugh. Haydos.
We want the skinny. That's what we want. We want the truth about the training capacity of Mark Waugh.
No, okay. No injuries. Okay. Speaks for itself.
It will all be discussed with Jock Campbell. He is our guest next on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. Our next guest. Wow, his role between 2000 and 2005 was all important. Mark Waugh didn't like it very much, I don't think, this particular role. He was the strength and conditioning coach for the Australian cricket team. So that was the key role for this next guest, and he was the physical performance manager for the Australian cricket team. Jock Campbell is on the line. Welcome to the show, Jock.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Matty Hayden, why is Jock Campbell on the show?
Obviously, we've got a very short turnaround in this test match. We've had 4 days in between it. So, Jocko, I was really keen to know from a physical point of view, you know, what it would take to get our bowlers back up to speed for this next test match at Lord's.
Well, we've been a bit lucky. We lost in 4 days and we bowled first. So they've had a bit longer, our bowlers, which is great for us, unlucky England. And they look like they're suffering a bit out there. 3-day turnaround in a test normally, which it would have been if it went the full length, causes massive problems. You're 100% more likely, or for the dummies out there, 2 times more likely as a fast bowler to suffer an injury in back-to-back tests than in standalone tests.
Well, that was a serious question, Jock. Now I'm going to ask another serious question. Who was the better athlete out of myself and my twin brother, Stephen?
Oh.
Easy question, I guess.
It is an easy question. You're both in the grand final.
Who was the best trainer, actually, or the worst trainer?
You're in the grand final together, I reckon, as worst trainers. But no.
Yes, I knew it. I knew it. And what were the parameters, Jocko? Was it whinging, excuse making, soft as cheese? I mean, what was it? Take your pick. Tell us about it.
all I used to get from Junior was, mate, all you need is a whistle, a stopwatch and some cones. And in warm-up, he'd go, mate, that's enough. Come on, let the career start now. Come on, mate.
Well, I'll tell you how overrated your position is, Jock.
Oh.
I never miss one game through injury. So forget your gym stuff. Forget all your fancy, gadgets. Just get and bowl, bat and bowl on the nets. That's all you got to do, jockey.
Yeah. How long did you bowl fast for, though, Mark? Didn't you cut down to bowling?
Yeah, not long. Good point.
Mate, for about 10 years, just quietly. So you're overrated, jock. Yeah, simple as that.
I don't agree. I do not agree. Jock right, Campbell, okay. You are not overrated. You pour a meaty, mighty fine Powerade, and you're very, very useful in and around the team. No, I'm serious. Look, Junior, you're a good athlete. He is useful. I mean, you self-proclaimed yourself the Rolls Royce.
Natural athlete.
Put him up on the hoist.
I tell you the secret,
mate,
Jock.
There's more to it.
You need good hamstrings.
How good you could have been.
Jock, you need good hamstrings. Is that a fair point? Okay, flexible hamstrings.
Mate, you need a lot of things.
But that's one thing
I'll
had.
I'll tell you a little story.
The only thing I had.
A little bit story about Junior. He came through the era where it was highly amateur, and then it sort of turned a little professional during his time. And at one stage, to give him a bit of variety, I said, "Junior, meet me at Sylvania Par 3 Golf Course."
Oh, I remember that too.
I got a special session for you.
Yeah.
So we've turned up. I said, "He's a wedge. He's a putter. We're going to hit the ball, whack the ball, run after it, whack it again." And he's like, "Oh, I don't like this. Oh, no, mate. Oh, this is too uncool for me. Nah. And he did it. And there was one other old lady on the whole course. And at the end of it, he goes, didn't mind that.
I actually did like a jock because I've said it before. I need some sort of inspiration to run. I need a ball. If I've got a ball, I'll run all day. I'll play any sort of games, but no ball, no run. And I'm glad you took that on board, Jock. That was very smart of you to get me to do something with the ball. That was good.
All the mentally weak use that excuse.
But I tell you what, how overrated was swimming? I thought, why do we have to swim? You don't see Ian Thorpe going to have a bat in the net before he swims at the Olympics. So why did we have to swim? I couldn't work that out.
I never made you swim laps. I just got you fluffing about the pool.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that is true, John.
Okay. Right. Not enough about you, June. What about Tugger? What was he like, Steve? What was some of his excuses to get out of training?
Mate, you know what? There were some great ones when he was playing. I got plenty recent stories about Tugger, if you'd like to hear them.
Yeah, come on then. Yeah, no, go for your life. We've already boosted him up, how he's, you know, doing the captain's ride. What sort of program you got him on? And I hope it's good because I'm planning on taking him down, Jocko, on this ride.
Well, mate, he got given a brand new bike, right? It's like a $4,000 bike. And his first ride, he didn't get a meter before he tore his groin in half.
he didn't mention that when we interviewed him half an hour ago, did he?
Was that just trying to get on it? Was
of course
it?
He didn't.
He was trying to get it on it up the hill, and he got his foot caught. He couldn't get it out.
Wow.
So that was his first meter of riding. And then we did this triathlon last year. And he's in his first swim, he's going, "Oh, there's something wrong with my goggles. Water keeps getting in." He said, "Hey, what are your goggles like?" I looked at them, they were upside down.
Jock Campbell, it was fantastic to have you on. Of course, Jock was the head strength and conditioning coach for the Aussies between 2000 and 2005. Thanks for your time, Jock.
No worries, boys.
Good job, Jock.
Good one.
There he goes, Jock Campbell. What were you saying about how I said his title, Junior? It's fine. He's the head strength and conditioning coach.
It's like he strengthens the heads. It's like you've got to do weights on your head.
Sorry about that. Anyway, we are back at the same time next week on Willow Talk. Junior Swanee, who had to just duck off there for the last bit of the show, and Matthew Hayden. This is Byron Cook. We're out. Same time next week, right here, Willow Talk.